Luke chapter 2, and beginning to read at verse 1.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now we read in Luke chapter 2, the narrative concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very simply put, without the trimmings, just the bare facts of how Jesus was born, and how the angels appeared to the shepherds and brought them this great news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Luke 2 and verse 15, we take up the story here, because when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so their desire was to see with their own eyes what the angels had been speaking about. And that's our theme for today, because this morning we're going to have a look at the shepherds seeing, and this evening, God willing, at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a look at Mary, who pondered all these things in her heart. And so we're looking at seeing and pondering, and we've got this tremendous opportunity this morning where we simply stand with hopefully a front row seat and see what God does. Now, there's a big place for that in the Christian life, because the Bible's full of exhortations. It encourages us to work hard, to be full of zeal, gives us lots of instructions to what to do. But sometimes you turn to Scripture and all you've got to do is watch God at work. And that's what we're going to do today. There's no exhortations. We simply look at God and see what he does in the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't contribute to it. In our days, in our society, we like to make a lot of how great the human being is. And I'm sure in the next few days, looking past over the year, you'll see all sorts of people who achieve great things. And we like to emphasize how wonderful humanity is. Well, it's good for us just to stand back and forget about humanity for a moment. Look up and see what God has done. Now, that was the privilege of these shepherds, that the angels had not commanded them to go and see. So in verse 12, the angel said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." You notice it wasn't a command. The angel didn't say, "Now what you must do now, you shepherds, this is your job. I want you to go down and witness this with your own eyes." It didn't give them the command, but the assumption was there, wasn't it? You'll find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth. And the assumption was there, because how could they resist? How could they do anything? They couldn't have sat back down, could they? And said, "Wow, that was interesting. That's never happened before, has it? I wonder what's going on in Bethlehem. Oh, well, somebody will tell us, I suppose, tomorrow." That's not a possibility, is it? When the angel says, "Today for you is born in the city of David," they had to go. And so they did go, and they hurried there. How could they do anything else because of such an amazing event? So they hurried there, and what they saw actually is really, it'd be interesting to sit down with a shepherd in heaven, wouldn't it, and say, "What exactly did you see?" Because they have all the details, because they were there. So with their own eyes, they knew where they were keeping the sheep. They knew the best way into Bethlehem, the quickest way. They would go in on the road which they chose. And by the way, don't think of Bethlehem as a massive city, will you? It's called the City of David, but it wasn't as big as Awarth is today. You know that, don't you? In fact, it probably wasn't as big as Stanbury is. There are only a few hundred people there. And so it wouldn't be hard for them to find. But they would know all the details. They'd know the houses that they would pass. They'd know exactly where Joseph and Mary were, because they found them out, which wouldn't be very difficult, and they knew all the details. Now, the problem is, we're a bit hazy on the details, aren't we? We say that Jesus was born in a stable. Well, maybe that was so. An early tradition has it that he was born in a cave. Maybe it was some kind of place attached to a home where they kept the animals. The fact is that we're a bit hazy on those kind of details. But the shepherds would know exactly, because they saw everything. And they finally got to where Joseph and Mary was. They met them. And there it was, just as the angels had said, baby Jesus lying in a feeding trough for animals. That's all we know. And then we fill in all the details. But what we must understand, it was never God's intention to write all the details so that our children could produce an authentic nativity exactly how it happened. That wasn't the purpose of the Christmas story. It might be a shock to some of you, but that wasn't the purpose, okay? The purpose was far greater, because we do know what the shepherds really saw. So we can ask, what did the shepherds really see when they came to Joseph and Mary and a baby lying in a feeding trough? What did they really see? Well, Micah, a prophet who lived long before the Lord Jesus was born, prophesied where the Messiah would be born. And in Micah 5 verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah," and Ephrathah, by the way, just pinpoints the Bethlehem geographically. That's the area where Bethlehem was. "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Now, Micah was a well-known prophet in the days of these shepherds, And whether they knew that verse or not, I can't be sure. But there was another verse as well, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. There are lots of them. These are just a few examples. Isaiah said, 700 years before Jesus was born, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." What did the shepherds really see on that Christmas morning? They saw the one who is a king lying in a feeding trough for animals. And they saw the one who is God. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. That was the name given to the Messiah. They were looking at God himself, incarnate, born as a human being, as a real child, and yet as God. Emmanuel, God with us. And these were shepherds. You'd have thought perhaps the people who would congregate on such an occasion like this would at least be the Sanhedrin, the religious rulers of the day, at least the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the teachers of the law or the rabbis. Surely, people of importance, shepherds. Doesn't that tell us a lot about our God? The same would happen when Jesus would be resurrected, that the first people to see Jesus would not be really massively important people, but a group of women, ordinary women, just before he showed himself as well to his fishermen disciples. And so it tells us so much about God that these ordinary men were actually witness to see with their own eyes Emmanuel, God with us. So that's what the shepherds saw. But what do we see this morning? Because we haven't got that privilege to actually really physically move geographically in space and time to see the birth of a baby, which actually happened 2,000 years ago. But we've got something better still. Do you believe that? Absolutely better still. Because we've got the full scripture, God's full revelation of this plan that he's unfolding to save sinners from the consequence of the sin. And so we can turn now to 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, because he explains to us exactly what was happening on that Christmas morning. And he's speaking about God's love to us, because this is what it's all about. The love of God to you and me. And I hope, youngsters, you've got some great presents this morning. Seen some of them. In fact, I'm looking at some of them now. And so I hope you've got some great presents. But of course, none of them are remotely comparable to God's gift. And that is, you've got presents because people love you and they bought presents for you. But God's gift is given to us because of his love for us. And this is what John says in verse 9 of 1 John 4. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only begotten Son into the world." It's an expression of the love of God. Pray God would give us eyes to see that. Sometimes people shrug their shoulders and doubt God's love. They question God. But when we think about the love of God, it's unquestionable the extent of his love because, says John, God showed his love by sending his only begotten Son into the world. He did it for a reason, that we might live through him. So that's the purpose. So that the Lord Jesus Christ is sent to affect our everyday life. Every moment of every day that we live, he has been sent so that we might live through him. We were made by him. We were made for him. We've become disconnected from God because of our sin. Christ comes to reconcile us so that we can live by faith in him on a daily basis and thereby fulfill all that God has made us for and be fulfilled for the reason that God created us. A wonderful gift. We who need to be reconciled with God, here is his remedy. The sending of his Son so that we might live through him. And then John is reflecting on this love and he says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. See the emphasis? The emphasis is looking at God and seeing what God has done. He's done it all. He's loved us, not that we loved him. And he loved us by sending his Son as a propitiation for our sins. Now that's 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And that word propitiation is wonderful because Jesus was born into this world for a purpose. He was going to go about doing good. He was going to get a group of disciples who would witness all his miracles and listen to all his teaching and complete the scripture. That was part of his purpose. But his real purpose was to come and lay down his life. And that's what John's talking about here. And he links Christmas Day with his crucifixion. Because he says, look at God's love. Look at how astounding it is. He's given his only begotten Son. That shows how great his love is. Why? So that we can live through him on a day-to-day basis. Because what Jesus came to do was to die on a cross. And that word propitiation means that I and you deserve God's wrath. Do you believe that? Oh, isn't it fabulous coming to Old Green for a Christmas morning message? But I'm going to tell the truth, whatever day it is, because we have offended God, and so God is angry with us, and this is God's amazing plan, that God diverts that anger onto my head and puts it onto Jesus' head. That was the cross. And John links them both here. He says, look at God's love, a gift born into this world, but a gift knowing why it come, that he must pay the price for our sin. There's no gift comparable to this. Absolutely no gift. What were the shepherds looking at? They were looking at Emmanuel. They were looking at the king. They remembered the message of the angels. Whether they knew the verses that Isaiah wrote and Micah wrote, I don't know. But they'd heard what the angels had said. Born for you this day, a saviour. Who is Christ the Lord? And so he is the Savior. And this magnifies the wonderful, wonderful love of God. And that is what we see by faith. And that's why faith is so wonderful. Faith is like an eye that sees spiritual reality. It's not scratching about trying to believe something that actually sounds totally impossible to believe. That's not the definition of Christian faith. But Christian faith is based on historical facts. The birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. Things that actually took place. And faith is simply trusting God. So as we look at God this morning and we just admire the extent of his love. The fact that even the shepherds weren't asked to do anything. They weren't asked to do anything. But how did they respond to all this? They weren't commanded. The angels didn't say, now, what you've got to do is, you've got to go to Bethlehem, you've got to observe these things, and then you've got to tell everybody about it, and you've got to give glory to God, and you've got to praise God. They weren't commanded that. It's just what they did. Because how could they do anything else? How could they do anything else? And so in Luke 2, verse 17, we have that verse there, which tells us that when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They couldn't do anything else. In verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. All we're doing this morning is watching and looking at what God has done. And what has God done? He sent his only begotten Son. We didn't have anything to do with that. It's not through the influence of anybody here. That's what God chose to do because of his great love for human beings, for his great love for you. And the shepherds got it. They understood it. And so they couldn't help but hurry down to see Jesus for themselves. They couldn't help but spread the word to everybody that they came across later. Do you know who's been born? The Messiah. Do you know who's come? The one we've been waiting for. The one who meets the very deepest needs and desires of every human being is here. God has answered prayers by sending his only begotten Son. They were overwhelmed by this. So they glorified God, they praised God, and they couldn't stop telling people about it. That's what they did. Now, if you and I get it, it's what we do. I don't think God this morning is saying, I want you this morning, this is my command to you, you must glorify me and you must praise me. I don't see a command here. I don't see a command here saying, you must tell everybody else about this. I don't see a command. But what I do see is shepherds who couldn't have done anything else because they understood something of the love of God. And so that's just what they did. And my prayer this morning, our prayer this morning, is each one of us will get it. You know what I mean? The Christmas story, the birth, the gift, the magnificence of the love of God, that it will click, that it will sink into our hearts, that we'll understand it a little more this morning. And we'll just say, Lord, thank you. That's amazing. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to become a propitiation, to turn away the wrath from my head unto his. Thank you for such a gift as this. We have everything we need in the person of Jesus Christ, the gift that God has given to you and me this morning. May God help us to glorify him, to praise him, and indeed to spread his word, because we can't do any other.